Daf is Daf Nun Aleph, I think, right? That's what we're up to?
Sure.
So I figured the Bam of Nun Amud Beis would be a good place to start.
Gufa, yeah.
Fine. Gufa. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Rav Ein Machzikin B'Nichse Eishis Ish. We saw earlier, yesterday's Daf, that Rav holds the person cannot be Machzik on the property of the Eishis Ish, of a married woman. And says the Gemara on the top of Nun Aleph and Aleph that the Dayane Gola, which Rashi says, Rashbam says refers to Shmuel, the Karna, so the Bezdin of Shmuel, the Dayane of Golas, of Gola. Amr, they argue into the Machzik, and the person is able to. So again, we discussed this yesterday. But Amr Rav is how we paskin. Halacha, ke Dayane Gola, we paskin like the judges of Gola, which means that you can be Machzikin on the Kark of Eishes Ish. And Amru Le, Rav Kana, Rav Asi, they both hold, and they said to the Rav, Hadar Be Mar Mishmaitza, we chose it from what you said earlier, because you're the one who says, Ein Machzikin, Rav said earlier. Now you're saying we paskin like Shmuel, that we say Machzikin. Amru Le, Mistavar Amri, Kedir Rav Yosef. What does this mean? So says Rashi, Mistavar Amri, Rashbam rather, Heicha, Dehavi Mikzes Chazaka, Bechai Baila. If part of the chazaka was established or began the process while the husband was alive, v'shalosh la'achar mi sasabal, and then there were 3 years after he died, kimo shapir shrav yoshiv la'el, Yosef explained this earlier, hasam hu di mistavet di machzik, and that's where we paskin, where there's a chazaka. Again, when the process has begun while the husband was alive, the haru rav gufe hachikam arleil, he said this himself, eishes ish tricha limchos dimashma dimachzikin. He acknowledged earlier that if there is room for chazaka. So miu dayane gole b'chol inyane pliga the rav. So rav holds, rather the dayane gole hold across the board that you could always be machzikin. Rav, however, seems to say such a chilik that only when the process had begun when the husband was alive and then the husband died and then there was 3 years, only then you create a chazaka. So he's somewhere in the middle, Rav. Okay, the Gemara now says, V'loli isha b'nichse b'ayla v'chule. A woman, a wife herself, cannot create a chazaka on her husband's property. And pshita, of course. A woman says, I've been living in this house for 15 years. It's my house. That's not a chazaka, obviously. So kevin dislay mizona, since she has mizona, so now we're not talking about a house, we're talking about a field, but since she has the rights to collect mizona, so those are one of her rights as part of the ksuba she's able to collect, so of course the husband is not going to be protest. That's his chayichiv to her. So mizona, he dekachli, she's eating the mizona, so that can't be a chazaka. Gemara says, Lotzricha, it's a case, deyachila ara achrisa la mizona. It's where he established that this particular land is where you're going to collect your mizonas from. Now she's eating on a different property. So then that's room to say that she can create a chazaka on that other property that's not designated for mizonos. Kamash Malan, our Mishnah tells us that she cannot be machzikin in any property of her husband. So the Gemara says the implication is, although she can create a chazaka, haraya yesh, she can have a raya, that if she has Rashi, Rashbam explains, if she has a shtar mechira, or she has an edim, or some other raya, then she can buy something from her husband. A chazaka, we say, doesn't work because he won't be mocha. But a raya, a kinyan, a shtar, that all works. So Gemara says, why does it work? So if I sell my wife a property and she gives me $1 million, I sell her this field, so is that going to really work? Yesh alema legluye zuzahu debay. The money, my wife is hiding money from me and I want to bring out the money. So I kind of trick her into saying, here, I'll sell you the property, give me $1 million. So she gives me $1 million and I don't really sell her the property. I just want her to bring me the money back that she's hiding. So maybe even in a case of a shtar, it shouldn't work selling the property to the wife. So the Gemara says, Shmas Midah, so we learn from here that that's not the case. That Hamocher Sadil Isha Kansa, we don't say Leguya Zuzehu Dibayim. We don't say that she's hiding money, I'm trying to get the money out. If there's a good document, a good sale, and she gives me the money for the property, it is considered a Mechira. So Gemara says, Lo, not true. You're making the incorrect Raya. Ema, the incorrect diak. Ema, haraya yesh bishtar matana. Maybe the diak to be said is the Mishnah tells us that a wife cannot create a chazaka. That implies she can create, with a raya, she can acquire land. So we initially thought she could acquire land through a shtar mechir by paying money to her husband. And the Gemara says, no, as a gift. If the husband says, here's a free gift to you, we'll write up a deed that's in your name, that works, because he's not getting any money. There's no games to be played here. He gives her a free gift, and there's a document to prove it. But if he's selling her, whereby the husband's receiving money, then there's room to be concerned that maybe he's not really selling it. He just needs to trick her to take that money out that she's hiding from him. And there is no proof from this Gemara. So again, everybody agrees she can't create a chazakah. Everybody agrees she can create a kinyan through a shtar matana. What seems to be unclear is whether a shtar mechira will be effective with the wife. So Gemara now says, Amar le Rav Nachman le Rav Huna, lo have mar gavan beorsa bitchuma. Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, you were not with in the tchum last night. Daminan mile mal yasa, that there was a very nice thing said in the Beis Medrash. So we have this phrase used a few times. The Mesoros HaShas quotes a few of them. But look at the Rashbam explains. What's the idea of the Ptchuma? So says the Rashbam, around half, a little more than halfway narrow, halfway down the narrow lines, Ptchuma means Batei Midrashos Shelahen Besofa Tchumayu. They were at the end, within the Tchum, but the end of the Tchum, Kedei Sheyuchlu Lavo Sham B'Shabbos Min Hayaros Shemisaviv. In order that people should be able to walk there on Shabbos, had to be within the Tchum. Now, why is it at the end of the Tchum? I'm not sure, but it's within the Tchum of all the cities, so as many people could come as possible. And there's an aside here of the Kutei Rashi, which says the same idea pretty much. That's within the Tchum that people could be able to walk there on Shabbos. So anyway, so he says to Rav Huna, you're not within the Tchum, meaning you were not in the Beis Medrash last night.
The Tchum, so that other communities also can get access.
I guess so. This, so as far, it has to be within the Tchum of the others as well. So it has to be some overlapping.
Diagram.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess that's the idea. So the Gemara says, so again, you missed a great chiddush last night. What was the chiddush? My amar le my milim al yasa nu. So he said amrisa. So he explained that hamocher sade li ishto konza, and that a husband who sells to his wife a field is a good acquisition. Velo amrinan legluye zuze hu dibay. And we don't say that he's just trying to take the money back from her. No, it's a good sale. He writes her a deed, and she gives the money. Sale is final. So amar le. Pshita, that's obvious. That's the great chiddush. That's the milim al yusa I missed last night. So he says, "Dal zuzei mehacha v'takina b'shtarim." Remove the money from the picture, and there's a shtar. So the husband wrote a shtar mechira, a new deed that this was now in her name. So of course that's good. Who can forget the money? The fact that this is a shtar mechira, that's good enough. What's the chiddush? Milotznan. There's a Mishnah tell us here in Maseches. We have it here in Balbasa, but it's really a Mishnah in Kedushin that milotznan nechosim sheyesh lamachrayos, a property that has achrayos, which is another way of saying karka, land, that niknin bekesiv b'shar b'chazaka. So forget the whole concern of the money, whether you're trying to draw the money out of her or really she's paying for it. Once the shtar says that my wife is now the owner, that's final. B'shtar is one of the three ways of making a kinin karka. So the Gemara says, no. Amar le v'lav itmar la. Amar Shmuel, did Shmuel not comment on this Mishnah? That when does a shtar work? Lo shanu ela b'shar matana. It only works a shtar when you're giving it as a gift. That you write the deed in the person's name, the makabel's name. Aval b'shtar mecher, if you write a sale, lo kana ad sheitein lo damim. The sale is not final until you pay money. No one's going to sell property unless he receives the money. So even though there's a shtar that's written up, the sale is not final until there's a damim. So if a husband's selling to his wife a sale, so the shtar is not going to be effective. And the money also, maybe the money's not being given to him in b'toras mechira. Maybe it's legluye zuze debay. He really wants to draw out the money that she's hiding from him. So that's the chiddush. The chiddush is we're not concerned with that. We're not concerned with legluye zuze hu debay. And rather, if she pays for it, it's a good sale and it's final. So then the Gemara says further now, V'la Mosif Rav Humnuna, didn't Rav Humnuna ask a question, Bishtar, Ketad, how do you write a shtar, a sale, a document of sale? Kasav lo al aniyar ol al acheres, you write on a piece of paper, or you write on a piece of earthenware, afa pish ein bo shava pruta, even though the document or cheres is worthless, you write, Sadai mechur lecha, Sadai kenui lecha, harezim mechur v'nesuna. So if I say that this field is sold to you, it's acquired by you, it's a good sale. And even though there's no money that's passed over necessarily, that shtar alone has the ability to create a kinyan. So we see a shtar independently is a mechira, and you don't need the money. So the Gemara says, V'lav hu mosav lav hu mefarik lav? Did he not only ask this question, but he also answered that question? This case, when a shtar is a final, the sale's final, is in a unique case. It's only in the case of b'mocher sadeh b'pnei ra'asa. The guy wanted to get rid of the property so badly, it was causing him pain, tsaros, it was really causing him a loss of money. He wanted to get rid of it, so he's willing to sell it with a document before receiving the money. Yeah, the guy owes him money. It's Petaris Halva now. Now the guy is loaning money. He owes me back $1 million. But I wanted to remove my name from this property, Mipnei Raso, that's when a shtar works. But that's not a general statement. So when a husband sells to his wife and there's a shtar loan, that's not going to be good enough that you need the money. That's the suggestion of Rav Hamnuna. But Rav Ashi comes along and says, after the parentheses, Rav Ashi Amar, b'matana b'kesh l'lala. Really, he wanted to give her as a gift. That's why it's final. And we said before, by a shtar, a matana, it works, even though there's no damim, obviously. V'lama kasalam b'lashon mecher. Why did he write, is a b'lashon mechir, even though it was only a matana? K'dei li'apos kocho, in order to give strength to the mekabel. This gives strength. There's a machlokas. Rashi tells us what strength it gives. But if I receive a gift versus receiving a matana, there's a difference. When I receive a matana, one nafkamin is a dina de bar metzer. Dina de bar metzer means that let's say I have a property and I'm selling my property. So now my neighbor wants to buy my property. So I need to sell it to him first. If he wants, he has the first option of buying my property. And I can't sell it to some other yid. So that's dina de bar metzer. But that's only if I'm willing to sell it. If I'm giving it as a gift, then Dina de Bar Metzer doesn't apply. That's what Rashbam explains. That's one nafkamina. There are other nafkaminas in terms of the responsibility and the ability to take it and confiscate it away from him. But either way, again, you can look at Rashi and Tosas. Tosas is like six different explanations. But there is some level extra koach by adding it and stamping it as a sale, even though it wasn't really a sale, but you could couch it as a sale just to give it the makabel greater strength in this receiving this gift. Now, there's an interesting Tosos here, two interesting Tosos I want to do here. Tosos writes, Dira Maschil, Kosov lo al Hanir o al Acheres. So, one of the ways to write a shtar is on a piece of paper or an Acheres, which has no value to it. Vichain Tani le'inin Kedushin, Kosov lo al Hanir o al Acheres. So, too, when it comes to a shtar Erushin, you can write, Hariyah Mekudesh Liba Tabazu, or really Bishtar Zu, you write Kedas Moshe of Israel on a piece of paper, Af al Pi, Shem Bashar Pruta, Britcha Mekudesh Liba. So Omer Rabbeinu Tam says, De'osik Rabbi Eliezer, this must be like Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara's in Gittin, Damar Eide Mesir Karti, that there's a machlokas whether Eide Mesir Karti or Eide Chasima Karti. Is it the Eidim that sign, or a mayor that sign in the document that makes it final, or is the Eidim that witness the handing over of the get or the shtar, that's what makes it final, the Mesira, handing it over. So Rabbi Eliezer paskins that the shtar is really worthless. It's about the Edom witnessing the handing over of the shtar or get. Because did the Rabbi Meir, Kevin Shetzarach Shechasmu Edom B'shtar Kedushin, if it's about the shtar of the Edi Chasima, so the shtar itself, the signing of the Edom and the shtar itself is of significance. So just jump down a few lines in Tosos, Im Kain, L'mahanya Chasima Al-Davar Shiachol Hizdayif. You can't write in a document that's able to be forged. So I guess his concern right now is the cheres, that you could write on a cheres, or even a piece of regular niyar, a piece of paper, a person could forge that. That's not going to be a good shtar. It has to be a document where it has a certain amount of gloss over it, where you could notice if someone erased something or scratched something off. But a stam piece of paper and a stam cheres, I guess, is something that's forged and it wouldn't work. So the only reason why it works here in the Gemara is if you hold like Rabbi Eliezer, who's not so concerned with the shtar, he's not concerned with Eide Chasima, his concern is the Eide Mesira, that you saw a transfer from one person to the other person. That's what Tosfos says here. Then Tosfos writes, jump down to Dibur Maschil, Afa Pish Ein Bo Sheva Pruta. So he says, Tema, Demai Rebusahu, what's the Chiddush, Sheva Pruta? What did I do? Who cares about Sheva Pruta right now? Bishma, I understand Gavi Kedushin, Nakit Kasavla Alanir Ala Kheras, Alpha Pishin Sharaputa. I understand why in the context of Kedushin they said even though the paper is less than Sharaputa, it works. Because the Rebusa, the Chiddush is, the Alpha Pishin Makudesh Bataras Kesef, even though this can't be used as Kinin Kesef because it doesn't have the value that a Kesef would need, but Kevan Shane Basharaputa, it's Makudesh Matar Shtar. It works as a document, a different avenue of performing Kedushin. Aval Hacha Gavi Mocher, when it comes to selling a property, so afil yeshba shavapruta, even if the document was worth a shavapruta, Ein akonim b'toras kasef. It wouldn't work b'toras kasef. Sharei mocher nosin shtar. The mocher is the one who hands over the shtar. So I'm not paying you to accept my sale, to give you my land also. V'lo lokeach. Ein karka nikna agav kasef. So it doesn't work like that. So he has a tema. He's a tzarachin. Why does the Gemara say in the context of a sale that even though the shtar is worth less than shabruta, it doesn't work? Even if it is worth the shabruta, of course it doesn't work. If I'm selling you my property and here's a $5 document, of course the sale, what's the havamina? So that's his tzarachin. But what's fascinating here, there's a discussion based on this Tosfos, that a sale never works if the mocher gives money over, which sounds obvious. So there's a shiloh that the poskim, they quote in the back here, it's... The Maharsham is dealing with a shaila. It's a strange shaila, but a person wanted to sell his sins to someone else. And he wanted to pay Reuven to take his sins and take all my punishments with him. So Reuven says, okay, I'll take your money. It's worth me getting all your own sin, and I'll take your money as well. So they point out from this Tosfos, if I'm selling my sins and I'm giving you money, the mocher, it's not a good mechira. If the mocher is the one who's paying the money, that's not called the mechira, and that sale won't work. Get involved with whether you could sell mitzvahs in general, whether that concept works of selling mitzvahs. But in terms of just the choshe mishpat side of me paying you to receive something, that's not called the mechir. That's what he learns from this Tosfos here.
If I pay you to take it, that's not good.
What?
If I pay you to take it, it's not good.
If I pay you to take it.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, sometimes I sell my...
Why do you call it the opposite? Say he's buying. Yeah.
He's buying, no, but he's not giving him money. That's not a sale.
No, I'm saying, the buyer and the seller.
No, but the mocher is not receiving anything. Mocher sells both. He gives the money, and he's also giving up his avonos, his sins. So that's what he learns from this line in Tosfos. So again, a part of a larger discussion whether a person is allowed to sell mitzvahs and stuff.
He's receiving the benefit of having no.
Right, he sees the benefit of not getting punished at all.
Yeah. And there's always something to get.
Right, it's true. But it's not tangible, I guess. Neither mitzvahs are punishments until they're actualized. But he quotes a Ramah here in Yerodea, that a person who already performed a mitzvah or learned Torah, he's not able to sell his zechuyos. Now, like, he can't sell your zechuyos away. So he thinks bein lemitzvah, bein lavera. These are things that are not on the market. They're not something tangible that can be sold. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara now says in the last six lines of the page here, Meisive, Love Minha Ove Eved. A guy borrows money from an Eved. A strange situation. The master says, I need some money, give me a few dollars. Vishichare, and then he frees him. Or Minha Isha, he borrows from a few extra bucks from his wife, and Vigarsha, and divorces her. Ein Lahen Olav Klum. He doesn't have a tie, they cannot claim from their ex husband, from their master, their ex master, give me the money back. You borrowed money from me. My time, what's the reason? La mishum darminin legluye zuzehu debay. Because really, the husband, the master, had money that the Eved and wife took from him. And he wanted that money back. So he says, you know what? I want to borrow money from you. That's his way of tricking them. And he gets the money out of them. And we say that he's not chayv to pay back. So we do hold of such a concept of sometimes darminin legluye zuzehu debay. A person will trick a person into a loan just to get the money back that he's owed. So that's a concept we said that's not true. Above we said if a husband sells to his wife the money he receives, that's a good sale. But here we're saying that the money he receives is not a good loan. It was simply the gluye zuzehu debay. So the Gemara says no. Shiny hafsim over there by the eved, by the isha, it's different. Hafsim delo nichale l'shavya nafshe eved lova l'ishmav. There's a pasuk the Gemara quotes several times that a lova is always an eved. If you owe money to someone, you're considered an eved. So an adon is not going to really be a lova. He's not going to be an eved to his own eved. So he obviously wasn't really serious when he claimed to borrow money. He was clearly there mishum dilaglio huzuzu hudibai. He needed the money. And so too, apparently, by the wife as well, the same thing. When he was borrowing the money from the wife, he doesn't want to be an eved lova l'ishmav. He's not going to be an eved to his own wife. In that case, we say he was simply trying to extract the money she was hiding. But if he's selling the property to his wife, there's no din of a mocher being an eved to a lokeach, and therefore we say it is a good sale, and we don't lo amrinan l'gluya zuzehu debay. Shalach Rav Huna bar Avin Hamochi sends the following halacha. Hamocher sadeh li'isha. A person sells a property to his wife, and she buys it. It's a good acquisition. However, Baal Ochel Peres, but the husband could still eat the fruit. Because Rashbam says on the top of Nun Alpha Mirbez, Tilogara Minachasim Shanafula Birusha. It's no different that if she had a relative that died and she inherited from that relative, the husband gets to eat the peros. So too, when the husband sells his own property to her, that should be no worse, and he gets to still eat the peros, even though it's in her name. So comes along Baram, in truth, is a machlok, is whether this is a girsa, Tosa says, but let's just assume it is part of the girsa, Baram. Whenever the word Baram is used, it means aval, it also means usually the halacha is this way. So Baram, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abo, v'chol gedolei hador, amru, they all said, b'matana, b'kesh litna Allah. Really, he wanted to give it to her as a present. We said above that he only wrote, I want it to be a sale, just to give her greater koach in holding on to the property so nobody should be able to take it away from her and to avoid dinah de bar mitzvah halachas, but really it wasn't considered a good sale. So it sounds like it was not really, and which means Rashbam says, velo yochal peros. He's not interested, he's not able to rather eat the peros if it's a matana. Matana, it's all hers. A mechira, he still gets to keep it. So that's a halacha, that's a machlokas here. Well, how do you view it when he sells property? Everybody agrees it's a good sale, but do you view it as a sale or it's really understood to be a matana? Nafkamina being, can he eat from the fruit or not? Gemara asks a question now. Mesive lo vemina eved v'shichraro. He borrows money from his own eved. Or min ha'isha v'garshin, divorces her. He frees her eved or divorces his wife. Ein lahen alav klum. The wife, the ex-wife, and the ex-eved cannot claim from their ex-master, ex-husband any money. My taima, la mishum de amir l'gluizus hudibai. Same question as before. That is it not because a master or husband would never become an eved, a lovet, to their own wife, to their own eved? So he's only trying to do that because he's trying to extract the money that they're hiding. So the Gemara says, no, shiny hasam there is different. So as we said earlier, delo lishavi inish eved lover lishma, but a person doesn't want to become an eved to his own wife and to his own eved. And that's where we say lo leglui azuzuhu debay. But typically we say lo amrinan, and we say it is a good sale, and in that case, by the wife.
It's not good. So the husband sells something to his wife in order just to extract money from her that he feels it's his
correct
thing anyway.
Exactly. So the Gemara then says, Rav, person sells a property to his wife, so she acquires it. Like we said above, and the husband could continue to eat the fruit. B'matana, however, if he gives it over to her as a gift, and then konsa, it's a good acquisition, but v'ein habal ochel peros, he's not allowed to eat from the fruit. So Rabbi Elazar comes along and says, Amar echad ve'echad ze konsa v'ein habal ochel peros. Both circumstances, even with Taras Mechira, he cannot eat from the fruit. So the Gemara says, Avid Rav Chista Uvda Ki Rabbi Elazar. So one time Rav had such a case like this, and a husband sold to his own wife, and he said the husband may not eat from the fruit in accordance with Rabbi Elazar. So Amri Lei Rabban Ukva, Rabban Nechemia B'nei B'nanza de Rav. These Rabban said, the Rav Chista, Shavik Mar Rav Rivev, Avid Kizutre. You ignored the greater Rav, and you passing like this smaller one. So Rashbam points out here that Rabbi Yochanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar. So how do you ignore Rabbi Yochanan, the Rav, and passing like his own Talmud, Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yochanan, apparently, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, they were, Rashbam points out that Rav would see Rabbi Yochanan, and then we learn from the Gemara, he points out that Rabbi Yochanan was clearly the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar. So the fact that Rav, learned with Rabbi Yochanan indicates that Rav himself was greater than Rabbi Elazar. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says that had he pasken like the Talmud. So they end up saying, Amar Lev Ana Nami Rav Revi Avdi. I also pasken like the Rav Revi, like Rabbi Yochanan, like Rav. Zichi Asa Rabin, when Rabin came back from Eretz Yisrael, he came back to Bavel. Amar, he quoted, Rabbi Yochanan echad zev echad zev kanta vena bal ochel peros. No, Rabbi Yochanan himself says, just like his own Talmud, Rabbi Elazar says, there is no stira here. Rabbi Yochanan, the Rav does hold the same way as Rabbi Elazar. So he says, Amar Rava, so how do you paskin lemaiso in the end of the day? So Amar Rava, hilchasa hamocher sade liishto lo kanta vabal ochel peros. The matana kanta vena bal ochel peros. So it's a very strange halacha. If you sell the property to the wife, it's not a good sale, and obviously the husband gets to eat the fruit because it's not considered a good sale. But then we say if it's a matana, so it is a good matana, the wife gets to keep it, But then the husband isn't able to eat from the fruit. So so Rashbam, the Gemara says, Tarti, this is a stira. Look at the stira. Rashbam says around 10 arrow lines up, Tarte, Bitmiya, Shnei Dvarim Shel Rava, Sosim Zetza. These two statements of Rava contradict each other. Lo Kansa, Mashma Lo Guf, Lo Peros, Tilagluya Zuzuhudibai. When we said that he sells a property, it's not a good kinyan, that indicates it's not a good sale at all. But Rava says that the Baal could only eat the Peros, sounds like, but he doesn't own the property. And then it says, "Va'bal ocha peres mashvid shekonta gufa karka delav lugluyis uzhudibai." So, how do you understand this theory here? When he sells a property to her, is it a good sale or is it not a good sale? So the Gemara ends up saying, "Lokasha kan b'malsh temunim kan b'malsh ein temunim." If we know that she's hiding money, they're temunim, so then we say, "Lugluya zuzhudibai." He just creates a sale to extract the money from her, gezuntite, but it's not considered a good sale. Lokansa. But if the money is ain't a temunim, if they're not hidden, so then we say it is a good sale. Dama Rav Yehuda, most temunim lo kanta. If there's money that's hidden, it's not a good sale. He's trying to ligluye zuzehu debay. But most shashain temunim, if there is no hidden money, then we say kanta, that the sale is going to be final. Therefore, he cannot eat the peros, according to Rav, exactly. So the Gemara now says the two dots. Let's go just to the top of the next page here. Tanir Rabbanan, Ein Mekablan Pikadonos, Lo Min HaNoshim, Lo Min HaAvadim, Lo Min HaTinokos. A person is not allowed to accept anything to watch, that of a woman, that of a Eved, nor that of a child. And the reason is, says the Rashbam here, two narrow lines down, the last two narrow lines rather, Lo Min HaNoshim, De'ika LeMeimar Ganvum LeBaleim LeVadoneim. Perhaps they stole them, the woman stole them. V'tinokos nami shema ganavami base bal habaya shehem darmasham. The child's living in someone's house and he stole the property. V'aser l'sayeya yidei ovrei avera. You can't support, you can't assist in people who are violating avera. For you to watch an item that there's a chashash and maybe it was stolen, so you can't, and obviously an evid as well. We assume a stam evid is a ganav, so you can't watch any of the properties because it's a good chance it's not theirs. So Gemara says, let's say kibum min isha. Let's say the person didn't know this halacha. A woman knocks at his door and says, do you mind watching this bottle for me? So he says, sure, not a problem. He ends up learning about Basa Dafyomi, he's in an alpha and base, and realizes that he wasn't supposed to take that object from the wife, from the woman. So what should he do? Yachsa l'isha, he could return it back to the wife. And Rashbam says, wide lines down, velo libal. You don't return it back to the husband. Dein lanu l'achziko b'gnevasa. We don't say she's a vadai ganav. We say it's a likelihood. So lichachila, don't engage in such pikdonos. But if you lamaisa did, so you're allowed to return it to back to her.
Does it make a difference if they paid to have it washed or
not? Not sure. Didn't see anything about it. I don't know. So then the Gemara says, v'meisav, if she dies, then yachshu labayla, then you return it back to her husband because her husband is going to be yoresher. Let's say kiba mina eved. The eved comes to your door and gives you something to watch. So then yachzir le'eved, and you return back to the eved. We don't assume that the eved necessarily stole it, but v'meis yachzir le'rabba. But if he dies, so then you return it back to the master. Now, by the way, this halachas of the women are probably very different nowadays. The Gemara also says exactly right. No, the Gemara says all the time that when it comes to you go to a person to collect to collect money, and then the woman answers the door, so an ani can't take money from the woman because she has no right to give the money out to her. But the Rama writes, but if she has control, if she's given a rishus from the husband to oversee the money, so then she would be allowed to. And I think the Pesachet Shuvah there writes in Shulchan Aruch that Mistama nowadays, most women are very much involved in the finances, so this halacha I don't think applies so much anymore.
Sometimes
they make more than that. Yeah, this is true. So then the Gemara says, Kibel Minat Katan, let's say you accept an object from the Katan. So then the halacha is yasilo segula. We'll see what that means later on tomorrow's daf. But what it means, what you shouldn't do, says Rashbam, velo yachsilo, you can't return it back to him. Shere enyo de lishmor, he doesn't know how to watch over the objects. And now you're putting something in his possession, which she could potentially destroy. So you yasilo segula, we'll see you give him a sefer Torah. You give him something that he'll be able to watch properly. And when he gets older, he could come back and retrieve that item from you. V'meisa, and if he dies, the katan dies, then yachzir liyorshava, then you can return it to his father, his brothers, whoever's going to be inheriting him. V'chulan shamru, all these situations, namely an isha, a katan, and an evid, all of them say, b'shas misasan, when they're on their deathbed, let's say, they say, shaploni heim. Yasek Kipirushan. If they said they're not really mine, they're really Reuven, so then you trust them. You trust them, and then you give it back to them, to whoever they say it is. You Yasek Kipirushan. But let's say im lav, let's say lav, and there's machlok is what lav means, but let's say Rashbam says, if you don't trust them, really don't trust them, and that they're too embarrassed to say that it was really their husbands, they figured out it's Reuven's, so then perish yaseh perish leperush, and then you have to try to figure out what you think that they really meant, and then give it to their husband or not give it to the husband. Because they might just be saying that to avoid embarrassing that they stole money from their own husband. Okay. Fine. Let's just do a few more lines here. This little story here, it just takes 2 seconds. They say the Rabbi Bar Barachana, the wife of Rabbi Barachana, Kika Shacha, when she died, she said, "Honey, keep it the Marsa ubne Barsa." These earrings or something, piece of jewelry, are Marsa, which Rashi says was the name of a Chacham, the brother of Rabbi Chia, and the children of Bnei Barsa and the grandsons or granddaughters of Marsa. So Asla Kamer de Rav, they went to Rav. Amalai, imehemin lach, if you believe her, Asa Kipirusha. So do what she said and return it back to Marsa Bnei Barsa. Vilo, if you don't trust what she's saying, then Asa Perish the Perusha. Then you try to figure out what she's saying and perhaps give it back to her own husband, maybe. Vikadami, others say, Hachi, Amalai, he said to him as follows. He said, I amidelacha, if she's wealthy enough to hold on to such money, sa'asa kibrusha. But below, if the person who says the rightful owner is not wealthy enough to be owning such jewelry, then also pirushli pirusha, then try to figure out what she meant, interpret her words and figure out who the rightful owner is before returning it back. Okay, everyone have a safe day and a wonderful